Thank you, Chick, for introducing me. You may say I'm a young man, but we know that that's not quite so. My story with Nicotine Anonymous is rather long, since next month, January, will be 29 years as a member. So, Chick, let me know if I go on too long. So next month will be 29 years. But what I share today, I didn't necessarily want to be so much about me as a personality, but more about the principle and an example of what is possible as a member of Nicotine Anonymous. For my recovery has definitely equaled a transformation in my life, because Nicotine Anonymous is a program of hope. And I've been fortunate during these many years to have been entrusted to serve World Services as a trusted servant, and I try to do the best I can to be trusted to serve. So just a little bit about my smoking story is I'm pretty much like many people, certainly of my generation, that I grew up in a smoking house and then within a smoking culture of the 1950s. It was never a question if I would become a smoker in my mind. It was just a matter of when I'd be a smoker and when I'd be able to do it without getting in trouble or get permission. I started around 11 or 12 years old, stealing cigarettes from my mother or from my friend's parents. And then I would meet my friends and some older boys down by the railroad tracks on Long Island, New York. And I know that part of the whole thing with that, not only because of all the advertising, the movies, and everything else that was an influence, but initially it was really important to me at that age, 11, 12, 13, to fit into a group of my peers, to feel accepted. And I smoked through my teen years, and I guess I briefly would say that it wasn't until probably when I was in college. And I had, on the very first Earth Day, which was April 22nd, 1970, and I was picking up litter and cigarette butts in a park as part of a way to join in on the Earth Day activities, when it really struck me how it didn't make any sense at all that I was smoking, that it just wasn't what I wanted in my life. And yet, there I was. And it seemed like I continually would think that, but I had excuses that kept buts in my life. And I had false beliefs, I had excuses, and I had the addiction. One of the characteristic traits that I discovered in my fourth step, or I was able to write down in my fourth step, was that I was clever. And that's a trait that both serves me and doesn't serve me. And I usually just make my short story that I was clever enough, I thought, to figure out how to smoke even in the shower. So pretty much most of my smoking years are pretty typical of everyone that I've listened to over the years, except that I would never say that I thought I should be able to smoke no matter what, and I didn't have to care about anybody else, or that I love to smoke. I really didn't want to be a smoker, but I just kept on smoking year after year. But I kind of thought that, well, I'll stop when I Superman and the doctor tells me, because after all, I'm smoking and I'm still functioning. I seem to be okay. But around 1981, 82, I was having chest pains and I saw a doctor who said I was developing chronic lung disease. And that's when I realized it was not Superman. And I didn't stop. I just switched to light cigarettes. I bought into the lie that light cigarettes were somehow better for you. And I did that for the next 10 years, smoking light cigarettes. And it wasn't until I had moved back to my hometown of Woodstock, New York, and I'd been there about a year, that I had run into a friend of mine who I'd known since high school, but the last time I had seen him some years ago, he was really at a bottom, as somewhere between a heroin addict and an alcoholic. At one point, I had taken him into my apartment and took care of him for a while, but it got so unmanageable I had to leave. Came back to Woodstock in around 1988. I did run into him. His name is Bob, and it was as if a miracle had happened in his life. And that turned out that he became a member of Narcotics Anonymous and Alcoholics Anonymous and had totally transformed his life. I always think about that because when I heard about that there was a Smokers Anonymous meeting in Woodstock, and although I thought it was impossible for me to stop, I just never seemed to be able to go to that meeting because I had Smokers Anonymous sound like a 12-step meeting. So I drove down to the Woodstock Library one cold January night, and it was dark, and the lights were on inside, and I looked through the window, and I saw about five people sitting around a table, and I thought, how in the world are those five people going to be able to do anything about me smoking cigarettes? That's not going to can't work. So I drove home, and I smoked another carton of cigarettes and realized, well, that wasn't a plan. So the next week, I actually walked in the door where I found those four or five people who were not smoking and hadn't smoked in 4 years, and I'd started this meeting 4 years earlier. And I was totally amazed. Why are you still here? You've already stopped smoking. And yet, they just kept on, and I said, I'm smoking. And they said, that's okay, just keep coming back. And I found acceptance there. Now, I had also started going to an Al-Anon meeting at the same week, but I felt really comfortable at the Nicotine Anonymous or the Smokers Anonymous meeting. It was small, and I felt comfortable to talk. The other meeting, the Al-Anon meeting, was large, and it terrified me. So I went, and after about four or five meetings, and I had to go in each week saying I was still smoking, one of the members asked if I would take the key to open up the meeting. And I wanted to say no. That felt like a responsibility, and I didn't trust myself, and what kind of person was I? But they had been so nice and accepting of me, I said yes. I took that key, and that was the key to the beginning of my service work and the key to my recovery, because I didn't necessarily know it right off the bat, but it soon became a thing where I realized I had some use. I was a horrible smoker. I couldn't seem to quit. But I had value to this group because I came and I unlocked the door and I set things up, and I began to realize we really didn't have much of anything in the way of literature. We had some things from Hazleton and different things. And I saw that at the Al-Anon meeting, they had literature and stuff. So I started trying to find more and more literature and so forth. And we got by on that as best we could. And I went to that meeting week after week saying, I'm still smoking. Somewhere around June, there was a man named Dan who smoked five packs of cigarettes a day, who couldn't even get through the meeting, often went out twice during the hour to have a cigarette outside. But sometime in June, he said he's setting a quit date for July 4th. That was going to be his independence. And he and I were still the only two smokers. And I thought, oh, okay, well, that's lots of luck to Dan. Jeez, he can't even get through a meeting. But somehow I compared myself to him, and I felt, well, I'm not as bad as Dan. I hadn't recovered much in my attitude about that yet. Well, Dan came in the very next week and said he had already stopped, which totally blew my mind. Totally blew my mind. And as the months went on, we got towards September, and I said, Labor Day is a quit date. Well, Dan had done a holiday. I thought I'd try a holiday. And Labor Day came, and I smoked right through it. And I often look back at there was, for me at that point, part of the beginning of me really to surrender. I had surrendered in a way to go to the meetings. I had made a commitment to go to the meetings a lot, even though it still seemed like it was impossible. Didn't know how important that sense of commitment would come to be for me. But Labor Day came and went, and I was still smoking. But it was actually on September 7th. I found myself literally on my knees on the lawn of a quiet. I was building an addition. barely able to breathe, coughing my brains out with a cigarette in my hands. And one of my crew said to me, maybe I should put that cigarette off for a couple of hours. And that seemed reasonable because I couldn't breathe. And so I went 2 hours, and then I went through the evening, and then it became a thing where it was important, not so much for me, but for my group who had been so accepting of me, to at least try to get 3 more days in so I could get to that next meeting on Sunday night and be able to say, I have 3 days. Without that, I never would have gotten those 3 days. Well, those 3 days, last September 7th, was 28 years without a relapse. And during these 28 years of living nicotine free, I've been going to meetings pretty much every single week, sometimes 2 meetings. Currently, we have 3 meetings in my area that I go to. So as that went along, there were times about a year later, those original people sort of started to fall out, and I kept going. Sometimes I was the only one in the meeting, but I would always go. And then sometimes you'd be surprised when you thought, oh, nobody's going to come. Some newcomer would walk in the door. And to me, still remains today, and I'm glad that we have a newcomer tonight, because a newcomer to me, I truly believe, is the most important person in the room. That's why we have this fellowship. And because of the acceptance I got as a newcomer, because people were there 4 years after they had stopped and kept that meeting open, my way of giving back what I was given is like the slogan we have, keep showing up. So that's what I did. So I kept showing up, and then I heard about a conference, the World Service Conference, was going to be in New York City in 1994. Myself and another member drove down to New York City and went into that conference and had our minds blown. There was a whole lot of people. And there was people stepping up to do this that had only had a year beyond the board. And I was just like amazed, because I still was feeling pretty intimidated by it all. But within that next year, I had a notion to say, you know, what I like is keeping it simple and slogans. And I knew that other programs had slogans. And so when I went to the 95 conference out in Colorado, and I approached the woman who was then the literature coordinator and said, you know, how about some slogans? And she said, well, you want to be the literature coordinator? Once again, that terrified me, but I said, yes, I'll do that, because I really would like to work on slogans. And it turned out, by writing to AA, they wanted us to come up with our own and not to borrow theirs. So that's how eventually working the next year on developing the slogans pamphlet. And that began my career. And since 95, I've been the World Service Literature Coordinator, creating pamphlets, creating the newcomers booklet, and within the last couple of years, writing the Step Study workbook. And that has been quite a wonderful opportunity, but it's always been a challenge, because to write and then take it to workshops and conferences and other people's opinions, it's not always easy, but there's a lot of surrender in that and having faith in the WE program. And during that time, I took on being an email servant. When we first started having an email service back somewhere around 95, 96 or so, something like that. And that's something I still do today, and I try to be there as someone that's been around a long time, because sometimes questions and things come up that require somebody with an understanding of the history and some of the things that have happened and so forth. So one of the things I wanted to talk about tonight, you know, was some of the things I've heard and what I feel about the 5 tools. You know, when I was going through it initially, it was important that someone shared a saying of that I needed to do was the next right thing. Along with the serenity prayer, that has often been what has maintained my sanity in difficult situations. The other was to focus on the solution and not on the problem. For so many years, I was focusing on the problem of my addiction, and I didn't have a program, I didn't have a solution. And that promise says that we begin to focus on Nicotine Anonymous rather than nicotine. This program gives me something to focus on, and service gives me a way to take action. Because as I put in the newcomer's booklet, action creates hope. And that's still true for me today as it was back then. So I wanted to mention about the five tools that have been so important to me. Like I said, I've been going to meetings twice or three times a week. It's now different for me. This is the third time I've been on a Vana meeting, trying to go at them. So used to being able to see people and have eye contact. So it was a different experience. But I'm so grateful that Vana was created and who helped do that. So I've been doing meetings, and I think that's really been important. And I'm getting a lot of stuff about meetings necessarily, but I have always valued a few particular things about meetings, and that it is a place that is safe and is a place where we respect one another by listening. I think one of the most powerful things we give one another is to listen to one another, and that has a lot to do with the transformation process that we go through. For me, it was really important. Like I said, part of my initial thing about smoking was to fit into a group. Well, a lot of healing has happened for me to feel comfortable in a group and to feel that acceptance, to feel I have something good to offer to the other members and to share it in that way. So listening is really an important aspect of the program. Certainly the steps, traditions, everything else, but just fundamentally as a human experience that we sit there and we listen to one another. Another thing for me about my local meetings has always been important to me is that I was accepted to do service, to take the key, even though I was still smoking. I was a service to create or to bring literature and find stuff and to do other service while I was still smoking. So it's always been important to me for my local meetings to honor what I feel, the third tradition, that the only requirement for membership is the desire to stop smoking. So if someone comes to the meeting and they're still smoking and they want to serve in any position, our groups have been open to that you don't have to have stopped even to chair a meeting, because the example each of us sets is that we show up and we have a desire. And that's powerful, because that acceptance enabled me to keep coming back while I was still smoking. And I have witnessed many, many, many people over my 29 years who show up and take months, if not years, to finally stop, but able to do service in the meantime is what's helped them to keep coming back. It's helped them to feel like had something of value to offer. And that's really been an important aspect of the meetings for me. Certainly, the phone and email list has really been an important thing. It first started out with a phone list, and then we all started doing email and different things. And that's been an important tool for people to connect between meetings. And that's certainly one of the values. Literature, obviously, really important. I've always long believed that I write poetry sometimes through my life. I always believed in the power of the word and the impact that words can have on me and on other people, on our behavior, and our thoughts. And when I first came, I thought it was impossible. But one of the slogans about how working together, that our impossible becomes our possible. And that's what I found to be true about meetings and why I think it's important to have literature to carry our message, and why they work so much on literature over the years, and as well as on tradition, on translations. We have, for those that may not know, there are pieces of our literature in 16 different languages on the World Services website. Through my email service, I've been able to connect with various people around the world, and I then look to see if any of them are willing to translate into their native language. And that's what I've been doing over the years, and that's how we've gotten learning languages. And we just published a translation that a member TV book. It is now available as an on publication as Nicotinamus El Libro, and can be gotten from our office, or if you can get on Amazon or Barnes & Noble. It's going to be on-demand publishing to be available at any book retailer, store or website now. And I'm looking forward to doing that with other languages. I have people in Russia that are working on the book there. They have supplied some pamphlets, but they're working on the book. I have people, a member in Brazil, working on A Year of Miracles, 90 Ways, 90 Days. So that's been a long sort of desire of mine, to see World Services really serve the world as much as possible. Sponsorship has been an important role for me, to offer that service to new members and generally the grandpa. I've seen in my group get recovery over these 29 years, and that means a great deal to me that I've been able to witness that and often play a role in that in some way. So go through the sponsors. The work would be the workbook. Didn't really have to be positive with them and encourage them and do the best I can to relate to them without judgment, and to be as unconditional as I can be in my support. And that's been a wonderful thing for me, because it's helped me be a better person. And now that we have the Step Study workbook, I'm working currently, two of my sponsors have been willing to do it. And it's been a really valuable tool to be able to have them answer questions, and then we talk about them, and it's sort of like doing a fifth step. And we go through step by step, question by question, and we talk. I listen. I share my experience with each question as well. And it's been a really positive experience that I'm really to use, because for years people work the steps and go, well, how do you work the steps? Well, we have a workbook now, so that's very fundamental. And lastly, to say, you know, in the terms of service, like I said, I'm doing email service, translations, been doing literature all these years, and currently in my last year on the board, as now I'm the chairperson emeritus, and I work with Chick and our chairperson-elect Chad, who was a newcomer to our conference last year and stepped up, and that was really impressive. I really admire him to be willing to take that on and to serve. And that's the way it's been with so many of the board members that I've worked with over the 22 years of doing service for World Center. So I don't they got an opportunity within this time frame for the meeting, get to share their own experience, strength, and hope. I'd like to leave some time for that. But I certainly appreciate the opportunity to share with you. And like I said, I'd like it to be focused on the principle rather than the personality. This service has provided miracles in my life. There is basically almost nothing in my life today that is good that does not have a direct connection to the fact that I went back to that meeting in 1989 after walking away from the first one and walking in the door and having people accept me, encourage me, and just say, just keep coming back. It's okay that you're still smoking. Just keep coming back. And from that, so many things have happened. I guess I would also fill in one other fact that in the year 1997, I decided to go back and finish my undergraduate degree, and then went on to get a master's in social work with the idea that somehow, as I got older, I'd like to find a way to see if I could find a financial way to support myself by doing something about tobacco addiction. And when I was in my graduate courses, particularly where I would bring up nicotine all the time, and my classmates sometimes would say, you know, you got to focus on something else. You're not going to find any work specifically in tobacco. Well, just a couple of months before I was graduating, and through a connection I had with a tobacco control coalition in my county, I got a call from the health coordinator at my former high school who said, we just got a local grant. Would you like to come and run a cessation program for students? And I said, okay, when I graduate. So I was able to tell those, my fellow students who were looking for a job, I said, well, I already have a job. I already got a check in the mail, and I haven't even had to show up yet. So I've often looked at that as a way of how the promises have been fulfilled in my life, that got me started. And a year later, there was a job opening in the New York State Tobacco Control Program to work with schools on policy and prevention programs. And I put on a suit and I went in for really the first job interview as an adult in my life, because I had been self-employed as a builder most of my life. And I got hired. And I got hired on the basis of the pamphlets and the work I'd done, the letters to the editor, and a lot of the things I had done. And I got hired, and I worked in that program for 7 years. I got to work on a state panel. There are now tobacco-free zone signs at schools throughout the state of New York. That's something that I initiated. And so I've had all these amazing things happen to me. And right now, as I'm being retired, I'm grateful for the extra little pension that that state job gave me. So I've had quite a life that has turned around, because I haven't told you about the other side before I got into recovery. That for another time. But like I said, so many wonderful things have happened to me because I was willing to keep showing up despite my doubts, and that my life changed from a belief that it was impossible for me to stop smoking. Through the process of the week, I've now come to believe that it is possible, one day at a time, to live nicotine-free. And so many other wonderful things have become possible for me, because when I took the big "I can't" out of my life, that's the way I felt about smoking for so many years, "I can't stop," I started to come to believe I could do other things. So in that job, for the thing where I'd go into school, sometimes doing a presentation for 500 kids or so in an auditorium, something I thought I could never possibly ever do, I was able to do because of Nicotine Anonymous, and able to carry a message to students. They're new or haven't been in this program for a long time, showing up, because as we say, if the only thing you ever program is to stop smoking, well, that's fine, but in some ways you get cheated, because there's so much more to get out of this process when you become willing to truly work the steps, particularly the fourth step, to really come to understand ourselves and to work through that process so that we have a spiritual awakening and that we do live happy, joyous, and free. So thanks for letting me share, and I'll turn it over to the host or whoever that is, Chick or Ken. Thanks for letting me share. Go ahead.